Tonight I'd like to take a look at Parshas Naso. Even though tonight is Tuesday night instead of Sunday night, we didn't have a chance to have Shir Sunday night, Baruch Hashem, due to a Simcha. I want to sort of look at the Sunday night style, look at the Parsha more broadly, and focus at the same time on one particular Rashi. But a Rashi that sort of begins to put the pieces together. Parshas Naso is such a fascinating blend of different topics. The sandwich in between the beginning and the end, you have this very rich, varied middle. The beginning of the Parsha is continuing the counting of the Jewish people that was the major focus of Parshas Bamidbar. The very end of Bamidbar is the counting of B'nai Levi, which continues into the beginning of Naso. Some discussion about the jobs of the various families of Levi, who carried which part of the Mishkan. The end of Parshas Naso, of course, is the discussion of the Nesi'im and the Karbanos that were brought by each Nasi. Every Nasi brought the same exact carbon. The Ramban actually comments that although every Nasi brought the same carbon, each one had his own Kavanos in mind. It happens that each one's kavanas converge on the same number of such and such animal, the same size silver pan, and so on and so forth. But each one was unique. But again, in between the counting of Bnei Levi, the beginning of the parasha, and the Karbanos HaNesiim, when the Mishkan opened for business, the end of the parasha, you have a rich combination of dinim in the middle of the parasha. And particularly the end of Parakei is the Parsha of Sota. There's a situation where a marriage relationship has corroded and trust has eroded, and there's concern with some basis of infidelity, of marital infidelity. And the Torah tells us if you have a situation where there were difficult conversations between husband and wife, and subsequently, there was a stira, loosely speaking, a yichud, between the woman and her suspected boyfriend after such a conversation. So there's enough of a likelihood, there's no direct evidence, but there's a real suffix whether or not adultery occurred. So the Torah prescribes, bizman ha-mikdash, a process, a procedure that the Kohanim would perform in Beis HaMikdash an ordeal to test whether indeed this married woman committed adultery or not. And another fascinating Ramban, writes, this is the one time that the Torah promises an ace. And the one time, there are other times the Torah promises an ace in the framework of Jewish history. Torah promises Tchias HaMesim. But there's one time the Torah promises an ace within the context of everyday life, and that a ace forms a part of the halachic system. The Torah says, the Psukim say, the Mishnayos and Maseches Sota pick up on this, if the woman goes through this ordeal of the Mesota and there's no miraculous punishment, that's considered sufficient proof that no adultery has occurred. So that the lack of an ace actually plays a significant role in the halachic system. It's a unique phenomenon. And that's followed immediately. Sota takes us into Parakeh. And Parak Vav opens with the Parsha of Nazir. You have a Jew who, the Torah says, a Jew can volunteer to become a Nazir for a period of time. And the Dinam of a Nazir, based on the Psukim in this week's Parsha, the nine Prakim in Maseches Nazir, the sixth Parak opens with Shlosh Aminim. There are three major Isurim of the Nazir. The Nazir is not allowed to become Tamil Ames. He's not allowed to cut his hair, and he's not permitted to drink wine or, by extension, eat any other grape products. And the Torah describes, a fellow becomes a Nazir, and these dinim apply for a period of time, and then there's a procedure to bring the Naziris to a close and resume normal civilian life. And it's interesting that these two topics, Sota and Nazir, they're next door neighbors in Chumash, and they're also next door neighbors in Shas. In the middle of Seder Nashim, you have Nazir, and then you have Sota. As a matter of fact, the Gemara wants to know how come Nadar Menazir are in Seder Nashim. They don't necessarily, Nazir doesn't really belong in Seder Nashim. Nazir is not, I mean, the Torah says that Nazir applies to both men and women. That's Perek Vav, Pasuk Beis. Isha Isha, Pasuk is very, as a particular fame in certain circles. Isha Isha Kiafli Lindor Neder Nazir Alazir Hashem, that both men and women can become Nazir. Okay, but that doesn't really qualify. Kiddush also applies to both men and women. But that doesn't mean that Masechah Shabbos belongs in Seder Nashim. So how come Nazir, Masechah's Nazir is in Seder Nashim? So the Gemara understands that that's because the Nazir and Sota, those two topics being neighbors, is very, very significant. It's hashkafically very significant. It's the reason for them being neighbors in Chumash is significant enough. They're also neighbors in Shas. So Sota obviously is going to belong in Nashim. Nazir will be in Nashim as well. What's the great significance of Nazir and Sota being neighbors? Each one is a fascinating, weighty topic, but why do they come side by side? It's a very interesting Rashi. Take a look in Perek Vav Pasuk Beis. Lama nismacha parshas Nazir l'parshas Sota. How come Nazir comes right after Sota? What does one have to do with the other? Lomar lecha. So Rashi says the following is coined from the Amoraim. Lomar lecha shekol aroa sota bekilkula yazir atzmo min hayayin. This teaches you that a fellow sees, if you're witness to a sota procedure, and you see the sota bekilkula, you see this man and woman, this married woman and her consort, her boyfriend, they had fallen into the pit, to the spiritual pit of adultery, and due to the Mesota procedure, both of them are miraculously punished. You see this whole situation unraveling. Yazir atzim v'nayayin. Shuhu mevi l'dayniyav. So that might be an appropriate reason to say, wow, you see what alcohol has wrought so often, as the Tanan point out, Masechah Sota, so often the disinhibiting impact of alcohol is often a key driver of people laying down their standards and people going places and doing things and taking first steps that they would normally never allow themselves to do, taking certain liberties. And as a result, that one thing leads to the next, and you end up in a situation of severe chet, of Sota. So you see that situation, you see what sort of destruction, spiritual destruction, emotional destruction, destruction of a family was wrought by misuse of alcohol, misuse of wine. So the fellow's reaction is, okay, I'm going to take the next 30 days or more and not drink any wine. The fellow decides he's going to become a Nazir. And indeed, the Gemara talks about a rich debate about whether it's the right thing or the wrong thing to become a Nazir. Is it something that we laud? Is it something praiseworthy to accept more chumras beyond what the Torah didn't forbid wine? Torah didn't forbid me from looking good, from taking a haircut. So is it the right thing or the wrong thing to become a Nazir? The Gemara has a rich debate about that. Is a Nazir a chote? The Torah says, if you become a Nazir, here is the Dina. But do we encourage it? After all, Amram pointed out, to end what I said before, there's a procedure in the Torah for ending one's Nazirus. Part of that procedure is bringing a carbon chatas. What chatas? What chet? To bring an ola, I understand. But a chatas, what did I do wrong? So that's one of the clues. It could be, in general, becoming a Nazir is inappropriate. Why are you being an ascetic for no reason? But the Gemara says, with this idea, this Rashi in mind, there are times when becoming a Nazir is appropriate. For instance, when it's in reaction to Roa Sota B'Kakula, it wasn't Stamais wanted to take on additional chumras. It was meaningful. It was a reaction to what I saw. Roa Sota B'Kakula Yazir Asmo Min Hayai. So sometimes I'm struck. The fellow saw that sight. He saw that event of the Sota B'Kakula, and he was struck by the destructive power of wine. He says, okay, I'm going to take a step back. So that's a meaningful movement. Let me ask you a question, though. Now, this is a question that several of the Mefarshim asked about Rashi. And again, Rashi is quoting Chazal. Isn't that backwards? Rosota Bikakula. I saw this terrible sight. I saw a family unraveling. I saw a person's neshama unraveling. I saw the depths to which the Sota and her boyfriend sank because of wine, and I saw the miraculous punishment that she suffered. So why do I need to be Mazir Atzmi Yain? Adraba. I don't need to take on any additional chumras. I was very shaken by what I saw. I saw the destructive power of wine. So Mefarshim asks, isn't this backwards? I'm the last guy who needs to be Mazir Atzmi Min HaYayin. I saw the Sota B'Kakula. That was strong enough medicine. Right? I saw this. I saw what it can do. I don't need anything else. I saw how dangerous wine can be. Why am I being Mazir Atzmi Min HaYayin? Adrava, the next guy, he didn't see the Sota B'Kakula. So he may need the strong medicine and become a Nazir. What do I need it for? That's strange. Isn't that backwards? We've heard this Rashi before. And again, it's a Gemara. The Gemara explains such a significant idea. That's why Sota and Nazir are next door neighbors in Chumash. That's why Sota and Nazir are next door neighbors in Shas. But why? Adaraba. Isn't the logic very counterintuitive? I saw the Sota B'Kakula. So I was very inspired. Why do I need to see Mazir Asmi Yain? And the classic response is I think a very, very important one, and that is to it comes from a healthy appreciation of the reality of human nature. What Chazal saw in the fact that Sota and Nazir are neighbors is that when you see something inspiring, and when you see something that shakes you, so yes, as we were saying a moment ago, I might have thought, wow, I'm inspired, I'm shaken. I recognized a truth that wasn't in my consciousness before. I saw the Sota, I saw, for instance, the destructive power of alcohol, and we might have thought, without the Chumash telling us otherwise, we might have thought, wow, I saw something very inspiring. Good. Now I'm good to go. And the Torah is saying, that's not the way it works. You see something inspiring, that's the beginning of the process. That's not the end of the process. Don't kid yourself into thinking that because you were witness, you happened to be in the Beis HaMikdash on the right day, and you got to see the Sota B'Kakula, and you were shaken and inspired, you know, I need to be careful. That's not going to last. That's not going to last. You know, Rambam mentioned it a couple minutes ago. Rambam says that Sota is the one place, the one instance of where there's the Torah promises a nes in a way in the context of everyday life in a way that it fits into the system of halacha. The halacha depends upon it. Why? He says because this is such a significant area. The kedusha in a marriage relationship, it's so significant. Avoiding znus is so significant that this is the one concept the Torah promises an ace. And I got to see this rare ace. I was in the Beis HaMikdash. Try to imagine what that's like. You're in the Beis HaMikdash. It's always an overwhelming experience. And I saw this rare situation of the Sota. And you actually see the somewhat gruesome nisim that the Torah describes. The Tzavsa bitna v'nafle reicha. And then the Torah tells you, you're going to see all of this. And it'll be awe-inspiring, and it'll shake you, and a year later, there will be no difference in you. Left to your own devices. You can see these in the incredible context of the Beis HaMikdash. The awe-inspiring Nisim of the Sota, that inspiration will wear away. And that's why the Torah says, Yazir Atzmo Min HaYayin. When you see something that inspires you, you see something that makes you think about, you know, how things need to change. There need to be practical steps. If it's just inspiration, it's a flash in the pan, that's lovely, but inspiration alone isn't going to actually impact behavior. A row of sota b'kakula, that's the chiddush of sota and nazir being side by side. And it's such an important chiddush, it's reflected not only in the placement of nazir in chumash, as the Tosfos Yontif says, the Sifsa Chacham says, you know, you would have expected nazir to be in Parshas Matos together with nedarim. No, it needs to be next to sota. And nazir could be somewhere else in Shas. No, it needs to be next to sota to teach me this absolutely critical message. This, one of the great principles of Musar, is being taught in Parshas Naso, that when there's inspiration, inspiration has to be followed by concrete action. There needs to be a Kabbalah, there needs to be a practical tikkun that falls into place in a time and context of inspiration. And you're right, as we said a couple minutes ago, it's at first counterintuitive. I would have thought, I already saw this Hotzbe Kukula. I'm so inspired. The Torah says, you're so inspired, that's only the beginning of the process. What's the next step? What's the Yazir Atzum and Ayin? And I think it's something very, very significant for all of us to be thinking about now. It's been almost 3 months of being shul-less. And we're coming back. We're Emir Tzashem, beginning our rendezvous once again, beginning our return to Tevila B'Tzibur, many of us, not every individual, but as a Tzibur, we're taking first steps towards resuming Tevila B'Tzibur, Parshas Naso. So we would do very well to think about this central message of the middle of Parshas Naso. And we saw something so awe-inspiring. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shook us in dramatic ways and continues to shake us this week alone in very, very, just over the last couple of days, in very, very dramatic ways. So it can't just be inspiration. We need Darosa to Kukula Yazir Asmayayin. If I saw things that inspired me, that got me thinking, I'm sure it got all of us thinking, there needs to be there's work to be done in putting that into practice in some way. Whatever it was that I was moved to make changes about, Yazir Atzum and Ayin. To think now about what are steps I'm going to put into place to concretize that inspiration, that is the central avoda of Parshas Naso. Shetaka bizoche, to emerge from this period not only hopefully healthy and well and safe, but spiritually strengthened in a substantive, lasting way. Emirat Hashem.